Item number 14, from Corporation Counsel, submitting an informational monthly report providing an update on the status of pending litigation. This item was also considered by the Committee on Judiciary, Safety, and General Services. That committee took no action. The item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Go ahead, Mr. Grady.
Thank you, Chairman. Mark Grady, Deputy Corporation Counsel. My intention is to be brief. There is not a lot new to tell you this month with respect to the cases on the list. I'm just going to highlight a couple and then answer any questions you have. If you go to page two, case number 11, I gave a report to the Judiciary Committee, and I'll repeat it here. That case was the case that we started to collect transfer taxes from Freddie Mae and Fannie Mae. It was started with a law firm retained, an outside law firm retained on a contingency fee basis. The case was started in reliance on a number of cases, but in particular reliance on a Michigan federal court case that ruled in favor of the jurisdiction in Michigan. Since that time, that Michigan court case has been reversed by the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals that governs Michigan, and other circuits around the country have also ruled in against the position we are advocating. There is a case arising out of Illinois that's in front of the Seventh Circuit, which also governs Wisconsin, and I think the case in front of Judge Clavert here, our case, is probably going to wait to see what happens with that Illinois case. The long and short of it is there's a lot of cases coming down elsewhere in the country that are adverse to our position. Doesn't necessarily mean we'll lose, but it's looking less promising, let's put it that way. I would just remind you that when we retained counsel, it was on a contingency fee basis and at no cost to the county. So when if we should lose this case, it will be at no cost to us. It's not a technically a development in our case, but it's those other cases are going to affect our case. And then lastly, in terms of my comments on number 16, the Frederick Hospital burial site, you probably have seen in person or otherwise. As we reported previously, the state ruled against our petition to stop that burial site disturbance. At one point, the State Historical Society had filed a petition to have another board of the state government review that, but then for whatever reason, which they declined to disclose to us, withdrew that petition. So the decision is final, and that's why you see at Frater now a large tent structure over the site where they are starting the assessment and starting the removal in preparation for the construction. So the case is done. I will be removing it from this list. The burial site removal will occur, and eventually Frater will be looking to the county pursuant to our lease with them to reimburse them for the costs.
And what's happening to those remains?
Don't hold me to this because I'm not working on this. I believe they're going to UWM, and then they will make a determination on whether they are going to be used for reburied or used for other sort of study or analysis.
In my contact with Colleen Foley on this matter, right now they have the authority to dig up the remains. But there will be the State Historical Society will be holding another hearing as to what then happens with those remains. And so the county has to be prepared for that hearing. I've had some discussions with the Director of Administrative Services and that regarding because there is a burial ground out on the site right now. UWM is holding right now approximately 1,000 to 1,300 remains from the previous digging that had occurred, I think, 10 or more years ago. So I don't know if that's going to be the location where it would go because they already have remains. And the possibility would be that the remains would be placed into the county grounds. However, that cost would be an additional $2 million to rebury. So the early costs were $2 million to take the remains out of the ground, and then $2 million to rebury. And those were the early estimates, and we're working with Freightert now, but Freightert doesn't really have to contact us and tell us. But so right now they're beginning the tent and the removal. Then there will be a question from the State Historical Society as to what then happens with the remains. So we're trying to prepare for that event.
Supervisor Jerzy.
Can you explain why that number is so high, $2 million?
It's approximately, estimates that we received was approximately, I think, 1,500. I'll go back and take a look at that, but estimate for the reburial of each one. And we took the amount of dollars and multiplied it out, and so we're going to go back and relook at the estimates again, but those were the initial estimates that we received.
Do we have options like perhaps going to cremation, especially if you can't identify these bodies? I mean, is there an ability to perhaps do a cremation and one unmarked but memorial type listing rather than doing each one per 1,500?
It's my understanding that that would be the discussion with the State Historical Society when they hold that hearing and have that discussion. So that's why the county has to be prepared for that discussion and what it wants to do. It is likely that for taking the remains out right now, that Freightert will just reduce. They have a payment to they give it. Payment that they give to us each year for the lease payment regarding the old Doyne Hospital and the lands that are there, and they would just take that money, whatever it costs them to remove those, to remove the remains, they would just reduce that payment. We've set up a contingency for that amount, so we have money set aside for that, but there is no money that is set aside for a reburial or cremation or any of those. That's why we're going to have to look at what options we have with regards to that.
You're just reimbursing the actual costs.
Yes.
They're not giving you a per gravesite figure, that kind of thing. This is the actual cost that they're reimbursing Freightert.
Right. Freightert is going to incur the cost to remove the remains, and that's what they're doing right now on the grounds just off of Wisconsin Avenue. Between 87th and 92nd. And so that will be the cost that they will incur, and they're going to just take that off of the lease payment they have to us. At that point in time, the remains will then be, as determined by the State Historical Society, the county's responsibility, and then the county and then the State Historical Society to determine, here's what you have to do with those remains. Then that will be a cost that the county will have to incur.
But you get to go and talk to the State Historical Society.
That's what the hearing would be for.
My suggestion is, and the board can perhaps help you, we do it respectfully. We do it even perhaps with a public ceremony and acknowledgement. But you also do it to minimize these costs, especially if they're unknowns. So, you know, you prepare a respectful type of ceremony request to show that we're going to be respectful of the remains. But that $2 million number seems like it's really out of line to me. I hope we're going to handle this with some sensitivity and yet also look to reduce those costs.
I mean, Mr. Chair, my whole thing of getting involved in this is because the length of time that I've worked for the county, and I live out in that area, and, you know, I've been there when Doyne Hospital was there, and I have a great respect for what the county has done to serve that population for a long time, and I want it done as respectfully as possible. And it's been a concern to me, this whole issue, and I want it done respectfully, and I want to give you the options, and I want to tell you, and that's why I've been very close to this item.
Hey, Mr. Chairman. So this came up in judiciary, and you gave similar, the Corp Counsel gave a similar statement, basically that it's moving out of the legal the litigation realm and coming off the list, and it's moving into the, sort of the administrative realm of, you know, how does this get conducted? At the time, the administration wasn't prepared to offer any comment on whether they're doing anything or have a position. Supervisor Jurcik offers an idea. Is the administration yet prepared to say that the executive is taking an active role and has a plan or a position, or they're still in the dark?
Mr. Chairman, what I would say, on, at least on behalf of my office, is that we just finished this first legal round, basically, of can they remove the bodies?
Right.
And when I say we're done with that, I think we are done with that. There's no appeals left.
Correct.
We're done with that part. As Mr. Mansky points out, we will have another opportunity. I don't know offhand myself when the timing of that is, but certainly when that timing arises, I would expect this would be a discussion at least with the Judiciary Committee, whether it will be just an informal closed session discussion or whether it will be an actual resolution that we would draft to state a position. I'm just not familiar enough with what our options are. I'll have to get familiar with that before that hearing. And I personally have not been handling this, so I don't know what discussions have been with the executive branch at this point.
Okay. I guess I wasn't asking you to comment on that, but since you did, is the clarification that this will come off of our list relative to it being a litigation item or in the form it was, but it's going to it'll remain an active item that your office will be involved in with the State Historical Society and whatever hearing will occur there?
Well, and my statement about it coming off the list may be premature, may have been mistaken. We're done with this first phase, but it may make some sense to actually leave it on the list for the next phase whenever that comes up. I have
okay.
no problem with that.
So does the administration intend to bring forward a recommendation on how they wish to proceed? I mean, I heard Supervisor Jurcik's comments. I happen to not find cremation objectionable, but, I mean, some people do. I mean, some people find that deeply personal, moral, what I you know, that they it's an offensive way to end or, you know, act. So I think it is a policy issue. Ultimately, what direction this organization would go.
Prepared to say something?
I'm not prepared.
Oh.
I believe we're looking at the options, okay. And I can get back to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Anything else?
I have nothing else to report. I'll answer questions if there are any.
Anything further?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, moving off the list, because the list does say that we can discuss anything that might be in front of the county. Is there anything you're able to share with me about the item that did not get brought to Judiciary that is an interest of being appealed by Corp Counsel? It was litigation.
Our office's request to file an appeal in regard to unemployment compensation.
Yes, I believe that's what it originates from. A couple of cases that they were actually
apparently right.
resolved prior to Judiciary but weren't brought to Judiciary, and now Corp Counsel wants action, immediate approval from the exec and from the chairwoman on it. Trying to understand why it just didn't get brought to Judiciary.
I believe the decision came down either the day of Judiciary Committee or perhaps the day before. I believe it was dated June 4th. We probably received it on June 5th, would be my guess without double-checking. So it was right. It wasn't in time for agenda setting, I know that.
Sure.
We can either have a special meeting of the Judiciary Committee, if that's your preference. I have no objection to that. But we are asking under the ordinances, if we want to appeal anything, we are to approach the county board for permission. If, because of the timing, it can't be in front of the county board, and the timing is now that the appeal has to be filed by July 19th, the next county board meeting is July 25th because we didn't get into this cycle. And so the fallback procedure in the ordinance is to request permission to file the appeal from the county executive and the county board chair. which is what we did. Now, I've had a very brief discussion with the county board chair in the back of the room earlier this morning, and there's some consideration to a special meeting of the Judiciary Committee. I'm perfectly happy to do it that way if that's the preference, and then it would go to the board this cycle through a resolution. And I'm just using the procedures, assuming a normal cycle.
Okay. I mean, I acknowledge it wouldn't have been ready for agenda setting, but it was 2 days. I believe it was 2 days before Judiciary, so it could have been discussed there. At least that would then afford the chairwoman the background that the committee had at least heard the item and had some sense of it. Because when it then comes to me and she says, "Well, what do you know about it?" I don't know anything about it because it wasn't brought to me.
Mr. Chairman, all I can say is I was not aware of it until after the Judiciary Committee meeting. Okay. Our office obviously had it. But
sure.
I was not aware of it until after the Judiciary Committee meeting. I think I got it either that afternoon or the next day, personally.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further? If not, we're adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you.